Welcome back to the second half of The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. On August the 12th, Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto formally announced his plan for transforming the country's nationalized energy sector by opening up the giant oil company Petróleos Mexicanos, Pemex, to contracts with private Mexican and foreign companies. Mexico is currently one of the world's largest oil producers, and with about 2.5 million barrels pumped each day. But Peña Nieto says his energy reform would raise oil production to about 3 million barrels a day by 2018 and 3.5 million by 2025. Natural gas production in Mexico is expected to quadruple in the next several years, according to Peña Nieto. So we're going to talk about Mexico's energy future, and that does have a lot of bearing on what happens here in Texas and in South Texas. Joining us on the line, we've got Michael Economides. He is the editor and chief of the Energy Tribune, and he's a professor at the University of Houston. Welcome to The Source, Professor.
Hello.
And also in the studio, we have Thomas Tunstall. He joins us. He's a professor of economics at UTSA. He's the director of the Institute for Economic Development at UTSA. Welcome to The Source, Thomas.
Thank you.
So let me ask Professor Economides, what are you seeing when you hear that President of Mexico, Peña Nieto, has these very ambitious plans to open up the Mexico's their nationalized oil sector? He's got some hurdles he's got to clear. What does he have to do?
Well, this is not the first time, really, we have heard about reform in the oil and gas sector of Mexico. I mean, I would think it happened at least three times in my own memory, and therefore it's going to take some doing, but it's certainly necessary if Mexico, so far from God, so close to the United States, has to improve its oil production and oil and gas production.
Doesn't it have to make changes to its constitution?
That's the least. That's certainly the legalese hurdle. You realize Pemex is the least impregnable national oil company, bar none, anywhere in the world. It's practically impossible to work with Pemex. But there's also a mentality issue that has associated oil and gas production basically national pride, national integrity, independence, and on and on and on. So it's an amazing set of subterranean psychologies that he has to overcome.
Professor Tunstall from UTSA, here we are. You've taken a lot of attention. You've looked a lot at the Eagle Ford shale development here in South Texas. The geology of the Eagle Ford Shale does not stop at the Rio Grande, but the production does stop at the Rio Grande. Why is Mexico not able to exploit the Eagle Ford Shale like we are here in South Texas?
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. One has to do with something that's unique in the United States, and that is that private individuals are allowed to own mineral rights. That's virtually unique among all countries in the world. So as a result, deals get done much faster, and it's possible to go into production mode a lot quicker. But the real key has to do with the fact that there are a lot of independent producers operating in the United States. They're the ones that pioneered the technology that combined hydraulic fracturing with horizontal drilling techniques. They risked their capital, experimented, and finally figured out how to unlock the oil and gas that's locked inside the shale. In Mexico, you have the state-owned monopoly Pemex that, as we know, monopolies are typically neither innovative nor efficient. Pemex has 150,000-plus employees and $100 billion of unfunded pension liabilities, $60 billion of long-term debt, and it loses money. So it's not a pretty picture currently.
So, Professor Economides, Pemex is also very it's closely tied to the unions, and the union is very closely tied to the PRI party, which is the party that has now recaptured the presidency with Peña Nieto.
Correct.
And so that's an obstacle.
Of course. I mean, you do realize this is populism at its grandest expression, There is a model for that. Venezuela with Chavez before. Eventually, Chavez, in other words, wore the cloak of populism, and of course, PDVSA was destroyed as a result of that. So Pemex has taken the position of espousing populism. The government has done that. So it's not going to work out very, very well at all. The current situation, I think, which is difficult, may actually get worse for Mexico for the simple reason that, just take a very simple example, in addition to the shale gas, you realize that we are drilling in the U.S. side of the Gulf through 10,000 feet of water. Mexico, for some reason, has not been able to drill for more than 2,500 feet, okay, which is technology of 20-some years ago. So Mexico is literally 20 years behind times just across the border. And this is the kind of thing that only competitive environment can work, and it's very hard to envision, in my position, Mexico becoming suddenly competitive.
But I can imagine, Professor Economides, that there would be a lot of multinational companies like Exxon who would be ready to go into Mexico, just to, you know, chomping at the bit, thinking that they could get to some oil that would be easy for them to get with our advances in technology. But what's the thing that are holding them back is what?
Oh, no. I would imagine working in Mexico today would be anathema to the companies you mentioned, okay? I would imagine smaller companies like Noble Energy in Houston, the ones that are drilling offshore Israel right now, very successful $20 billion company. I don't think Mexico is ready to attract the $300 billion outfit because they're not going to put up with the kind of regulatory straitjacket that the Mexican government is probably going to have to put anyway to appease their left wing, okay? So I don't think you're going to see the companies you are mentioning, and they are the ones that have the technology.
So the ExxonMobil would be too big for Mexico, but a smaller...
Absolutely. I mean, you know, ExxonMobil is bigger than Mexico, you realize. Most people don't realize that ExxonMobil is almost the size of Mexico as a country, okay? So in other words, that's the size of it we're dealing with.
Okay, and so a smaller wildcatty kind of an outfit could do it.
Yeah, and I would say for shale gas, you are probably going to see the Devons and the Apaches and the Chesapeakes of the world. These are very nice companies. They are the best part that American oil and gas can actually provide, but they are tiny little outfits relative to the massive companies that you are talking about.
Are we just – is this going to happen? I mean, it seems like the rewards would be great for these companies. Mexico wants the energy. I mean, right now they're importing natural gas from the United States, and when they have their own giant natural gas reserves just waiting to be tapped there. We're going to have to deal with that question when we get back. We're talking about Pemex, the privatization and partnerships that are just waiting to be made in Mexico, and what that could mean for the Eagle Ford Shale here in South Texas. Oh, you're listening to The Source on KSTX. We will be right back. Listening to The Source on KSTX, I'm David Martin Davies. Mexico's got a huge reserve of natural gas and petroleum oil waiting to be tapped. They're having problems with Pemex, the nationalized oil company. They need technological help in getting to that. And whoever can do that, there's a fortune to be made. You'd think that South Texas, now we've developed all this expertise and we have all these people who know how to do it, and they've got the equipment to get to that oil, that we would be in a prime position, be able to go into Mexico and help them with their being able to frack away down in south of the border. But there are holdups, but there is also a great promise, and Mexico's President Enrique Peña Nieto really wants to make this happen. If you've got a question about Mexico's energy future, give us a call and what it might mean for the Eagle Ford Shale. If you've got questions about the Eagle Ford Shale, you could also give us a call. The number is 614 614- 8980-614-8980. In the studio, I've got Thomas Tunstall. He is a professor of economics at UTSA. He's the director of the Institute for Economic Development there. He's also their top dog on the Eagle Ford Shale. And Professor Michael Economides. He's the editor-in-chief of Energy Tribune and a professor at the University of Houston. So, Professor Economides, Mexico, is this just something that's just going to be talked about and talked about, or is there going to be real action? Is Enrique Peña Nieto, just because we hear this a lot in Mexico, they talk a good game, but are we going to see action?
Well, I mean, as I said, Vicente Fox, as you may recall, did the same noise when he came in, okay? And I hope they are going to do this. I mean, I teach in Mexico. I have a lot of Mexican students. I've already climbed up all the way the ladder. So I mean, I have a lot of connections with Mexico. And they are great, by the way. This is the irony, is that from a technological point of view, they are good. And I know this is a nuance. There is nothing wrong with Pemex as a petroleum engineering company. But there is a lot wrong with Pemex on decision-making, on having the market work, on... I hate to put on the air an analogy like this. It's like playing baseball, okay? Baseball is an easy game to play. But to hit a major league fastball is the toughest thing in all sports. And that's the problem with Mexico, in other words, okay? They know how to play baseball, but they are not ready to hit a major league fastball. That's the problem.
Now, I see, like, on Halliburton's website, they talk about what they're working with Pemex. Apparently, there are already partnerships in place with...
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, but you see, Halliburton has been working... I'm ex-Schlumberger, by the way, in the point of disclaimer. I was the chief engineer for Schlumberger, Dower Schlumberger North America. And I worked in Mexico, I would say, for 25 years, in and out, in the industry. So, I mean, there is nothing wrong with that. Service companies come in, and they provide similar technology. It's just how do you deploy the technology? How do you organize your baseball game, if I may use my analogy? That's part of the problem that they have. It's more difficult to explain on radio than the actuality of it, okay? But I would say that they need to allow the private sector to work. That's the problem.
All right. We do have a call. We want to get it on the air. David is on the line. David, welcome to The Source.
Hi. You know, whenever I hear these discussions on Pemex and read because of this reform that's going on in Mexico, they speak about Pemex losing enormous amounts of money. And
yes,
that's an absolute lie. Pemex makes quite a bit of money. It's just that the government taxes it at 90%. And they leave nothing for reinvestment in capital. And I'm not excusing Pemex. I mean, Pemex is badly managed. It's corrupt. There's a lot of problems. But Pemex by no means is unprofitable. It's just that all the profit goes to sustain the budget of the Mexican government. And the other thing is, I mean, private companies are involved already. It's just that they're subcontractors, just as they exist here. The problem is that most of the bigger oil companies actually want to own the oil. That they don't want to just share in the profits. They actually want to own the mineral rights to the oil they discover. And I think that's the crux of the problem. And it's a historical problem in Mexico because if you go before the oil nationalization in 1939, when all there were foreign companies operating in Mexico, they gave no royalties at all to Mexico. And, in fact, during the revolution, you know, I don't know if you've read MacArthur's history, but basically the U.S. blockaded the port of Tampico and said, have your revolution outside, just don't bother the oil companies. So, I mean, there's a real historical precedent there that losing or letting foreign companies in, there wouldn't be, as it is, very little of the revenue actually goes directly to Mexican citizens. And I know in the reform they're talking about making it the Norwegian model, but the problem is you don't have Norwegians administering it.
All right, David, thank you for those great points. Appreciate you calling in. And so Professor Economides, David brings up some great points. He says that, you know, that American companies, they don't want to just go to Mexico and be hired hands. They want to be able to reap great profits.
He's right. I mean, and although Pemex, even being the national treasury, which it serves like, okay, is still not as good as it could have been. That's a fact. Especially when you started looking at shale gas. You know, shale gas for the United States is arguably the biggest story in the last 50 years, bar none. And it's a big story because it really encompasses the American can-do attitude, okay? The incorporation of technology with management, with work ethics, with competition. There are many elements that go together that, unfortunately, Mexico doesn't have. It's not going to be like tomorrow Mexico is going to wake up and suddenly exploit the Eagle Ford south of the Rio Grande. That's not going to happen, okay? And the reason that it's not going to happen is exactly because of who's going to be calling the shots. Your caller is correct, but I would like to correct him. Nobody owns resources anywhere in the world other than the United States residents, okay? But they do have, let's say, production sharing agreements that implicitly allows them to have a stake in the exploitation of the resource. And contractors is not the same, obviously.
So if I have a hacienda in Mexico and they find oil on it and Pemex shows up and drills and pulls out all this oil, I don't get any money off of it?
Zero. In fact, it's, you know, in South America, I have written an article once comparing Midland, Texas, of all the places, which produces 1 million barrels a day under its ground, okay, with places like Ciudad del Carmen in Mexico, like Maturin in Venezuela. Nobody would ever believe that 1 million barrels of oil is produced under there, considering the abject poverty and the lifestyle of people, okay? So in other words, not only people don't get the money, they don't even get the secondary, tertiary, quaternary benefits of being near oil production because somehow it's piped away. I'm not even going to speak about Nigeria and other failed places all over the world. So Mexico is really closer to Nigeria in so many ways than it is to Midland, Texas, okay?
Okay, let's get another caller on the line. Our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. We're talking about Pemex and their energy future in private ship and partnerships with the United States. Joe is on the line. Joe, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I had a question for the gentleman speaking.
Okay, go ahead.
My question is, if this happens and this comes to full manifest there in your country in Mexico, what are they going to do? What are y'all going to do to protect us American citizens from the drug cartels from trying to kidnap us from oil fields and stuff?
Okay, Joe, thanks for that phone call. And Professor Economides, you seemed entertained by that question.
Listen, I work in Nigeria, and last year 400 expats were kidnapped. The kidnappers in the Niger Delta have gotten so good at that, they accept American Express, okay? So it's going to happen. That's why you need to be very careful. Oil and gas people like myself, we know how to live with danger, okay? I mean, it's part of the job, okay? I lived all over the world. I worked in Siberia. I mean, the guards we had in Siberia are not the most pleasant Russians, okay? So you get the idea, right? So we're going to have to live with that.
When you do have a reform, and like we're talking about here, and maybe you keep talking about how the money doesn't get to the people, and so that's fascinating. We hear about how ranchers in South Texas are able to finally to get new trucks, and it's a big and towns are booming. We are seeing the impact of the Eagle Ford Shale. It's quite a contrast to what's happening in these other parts of the world where we don't have that system.
Exactly.
So, Professor Tunstall, I know you've studied the impact of the Eagle Ford Shale. What are we seeing in South Texas? I mean, what's the manifestation?
Well, they're just the impacts are across the board are pretty dramatic. The numbers that we've been estimating for just last year were $61 billion in over, and that's billion with a B, in economic impact, supporting over 116,000 jobs. But one thing I wanted to...
Yes, real quick.
Oh, I just want to point out, two of the largest shale plays in the U.S., you said Mexico produces 2.5 million barrels of oil per day. The Bakken and the Eagle Ford, 600,000, 800,000, that's 1.4 million, just those two shale plays.
Wow.
Every day. So,
okay, this shows you how these systems that we have, how they vary, and the outcomes are so dramatically different. All right, I want to thank Michael Economides. He's the editor-in-chief of Energy Tribune, professor at University of Houston, Tom Stunstall from the UTSA. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.